Somebody who knows a thing or two about riding in the Belmont is jockey Mike Luzzi. He is based here in New York for much of the year, and he's participated in two different Belmont Stakes, and he's with us now here on the Triple Crown Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, appreciate you spending a few minutes with us, my friend.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you here. And, you know, we hear this quite often. When jockeys come to Belmont Park because of the mile-and-a-half configuration, they can get lost out there. Is that true?
Absolutely, and as you were just speaking of a Fleet Alex, and I always use that as one, a key race for anybody to watch, because Jeremy Rose, honestly, since I've been riding in New York for 20 years, probably rode the best Belmont I've seen ridden, and for a guy that wasn't here year round, he rode that race like it was a mile and a 16th at Pimlico. I mean, he really rode a good race, and I always give him credit for that. But back to what you said, yeah, you can get lost. I mean, everybody knows where the poles are and everybody knows the home stretch, but there's a key part of this racetrack where you want to move. On any other racetrack, it's probably where you should move or make a move, and here it's not. Here you need to stall a little bit. And it's not. It's maybe a 16th of a mile between the 3.5 and the 3. You need to stall when at that point of any other mile oval, mile and an eighth oval, is when you start to make a move. So watch that. I mean, it's an interesting part of every Belmont, and I've watched every one. And I've seen some guys make some mistakes there without saying any of them. But I think that's where a mistake's made a lot, about the 3.5.
Is that difficult to have the patience to wait at that point and not make the move because you're so used to doing it at that point at other tracks?
Well, I mean, on a Wednesday at Belmont, it's probably very easy to do. But I imagine being, you know, I've ridden a couple Belmonts, and I was out of horse by that part of the race both times I rode it. But I imagine going for the Triple Crown and all the excitement and all the buildup, I imagine you might even forget to pause at that part of the race.
Put yourself in Victor Espinosa's shoes, okay? You're breaking from post 5. You're going for the Triple Crown. The horse has only been beaten once. You know he has good early speed. What's Mike Luzzi going to do?
I mean, I would put him in a good position, and hopefully there's real pace in a race. You know, it's a mile and a half, but it's two-turn mile and a half when most races mile and a half are three turns. So you can ride it like a two-turn race, but it still is a mile and a half. I would get position and know in years past where guys have made that kind of little bit of a mistake, and I would keep that in the back of my head. But, I mean, you can't stick to a plan. It's a horse race. You know, all plans go by the wayside. So plan A, B, and C. Hopefully you never get to D. So that's would be my mindset going in the gate in that jockey's position.
Well, you've been in the jock's room for many of these Belmont Triple Crown attempts. What's it like being down there with the jockey going for a Triple Crown? Is it like a no-hitter where you don't talk to him, or you know, guys like Stuart Elliott, Victor Espinosa in the past? I mean, what's the atmosphere like down there?
It's a great question, and it's a very different kind of day when there's a chance for a Triple Crown winner, and watching a jockey that you know. No, like Stuart Elliott's, you know, I rode with for years, and you know, it would be interesting to see Victor. I watched Kent. I mean, I was there all them days. And listen, man, you can be the coolest guy in the world on the outside, and jockeys are known to be cool, but on the inside, you know, they're probably churning a little bit, which is okay. That's competitive spirit, but it's a different kind of day. I've been here when the Belmont wasn't going for a Triple Crown, so that's more of a regular day, but when there's a shot at this and a shot at history, to be in that jock's room and be, you know, maybe I rode the race or the last race, but that day is definitely a different kind of day.
It's an interesting day, too, in that for a rider, and especially now with the way that they've structured so many big races on Belmont Day, you know, a guy like Victor Espinosa obviously is going to have an opportunity to ride races earlier on the card, and they're not just an allowance race or a maiden special weight. We're talking about grade one type races. So I would imagine that probably helps a little bit in terms of keeping the nerves overall in check. And correct me if I'm wrong, but once you get on the back of the horse, that's when things settle down for you anyway. So
absolutely. And I've heard other athletes say it about, you know, all the build up to the Super Bowl. Once you get on the field, Stanley Cup, once you get on the ice, World Series, once you get on the field as well, is where you're most comfortable. And I've experienced it myself. I've ridden some favorites in big races where, you know, you get the butterflies, but when you get that leg up, it's, you know, you're in your zone. It's your time now. And as far as riding races earlier in the day, it's great. It's, you know, it's part of a routine. I would hate to just have a mount, one mount, the Belmont Stakes to win the Triple Crown. I mean, that's you know, a long time to wait to ride that race. So it distracts you from probably that race. It gives you a little experience out on the racetrack. You know, we watched Victor do it at Pimlico, and I seen him ride a race, and I said, man, that was a ride, you know, where I ride the favorite in the Preakness, you know, two races from now. And it was interesting to watch, but to ride earlier races is good experience.
Victor's going to ride the Brooklyn for Bob Baffert a mile and a half earlier on the card. Do you think that's a little bit of an edge for him to be able to go out there and take a tour of that mile and a half race before he rides the Belmont?
Awesome. Absolutely. I mean, I went to Brooklyn 100 years ago for my grandfather, but it was at Aqueduct. So that's that race touches me a little bit. But it's here now. But to ride a race a similar, you know, distance, I mean, everything is a big, big plus, especially here, especially at that 3.5 mark. You know, maybe he might learn something in that race that he'll take to the Belmont, which is a good thing.
Talking with jockey Mike Luzzi on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, you were telling me before we came on the air, your son, 18 years old, was out here galloping horses this morning, not quite ready to take the step to be a jockey quite yet, but he's getting there. And you told me that's about your worst nightmare, isn't it?
Well, I mean, at one time it was. And as you know, I've been hurt since November. And at first, when he first told me he wanted to do it, I said, man, I wanted him to go to college. I wanted him to away from the racetrack. And, you know, as time went on, I could see in his eyes that's all he wanted to do. And, you know, my brother, and he had the look of my brother when I remember being younger. My brother was going to be a jockey before I was. And he has this, you know, that same look in his eye. And he's a good kid. He's really doing a good job. He works for Karen McLaughlin, so he's got a little interest in that gray horse that's running in that big race. So he's doing good. He's not quite ready yet. He's got some more learning to do. He's real light. He weighs like 100 pounds, so he's no rush to get to the races because he'll be little. So some guys have to rush because of the weight thing. It's going to be galloping horses at Saratoga all summer. It'll be interesting. I still don't know where I'm at right now, so we're still kind of waiting to see what the doctors say I can do and can't do. So it'll be fun. It'll be a good summer.
What's your advice to him? I know you must give him some advice, but if you give him a couple points, I mean, you absolutely have to know to be a jockey.
Oh, man. I mean, it's such a learning process, and people don't realize it. Every day you can learn something new, and he's a question asker. But just recently, and Artie, that Karen's assistant, he's kind of my buffer. I kind of like put him in his hands, but he still comes home with me every day, of course. But he asks me questions that I know he knows the answers to already. So he's at a point now where he's testing me to see if I know things. and it's, you know, he's real sharp like that. So he's learning a lot, not just from me and not just from the horses. There's people in his ear. And I told him to take everything in and use everybody's opinion, not just mine.
Well, I know you have to go get him over to school right now, so we don't want him to be late for class. So
not at all.
We'll let you go do that. And Mike, really appreciate the time and hope you get back here soon, my friend. Look forward to seeing you.